Welcome, listeners, to Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School.
This is Bridget Mitchell, student journalist with Bruin News. We're here at the Art and Chocolate Festival today. It is Sunday, the 11th, at 10:26 a.m. We're about to head on in. It looks like we have a vendor right at the front door. So I just tried a really nice sample of the elderberry tonic at Sarah's Cider of Fire, and it is very good. It's full of vitamin C, and the lady here is super nice. I'll try to get an interview from her in a couple minutes. So I've talked to about three vendors now, and all of them seem to have declined by now. It's a little bit saddening, but hopefully we'll get some more people on the way. I just tried the dang good dill at Mrs. Britt's Oregon Kitchen, and it was dang good, if I do say so myself. It was like a mixture between blue cheese and ranch, and it would taste really good on seafood and stuff like that, I do believe. I really like it. So I'm here with Sunbird Scarves, and she has beautiful scarves all around us. Would you like to talk about them a little bit?
Sure. They're block printed scarves. I carve the design myself, and then I print them onto the scarves, and they're 100% rayon. I start with a white scarf, I dye it, and then I carve the design and print them.
They're very beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
How long have you been doing this?
About three, now it's going on 4 years. Yeah.
So, nice.
Yeah, thank you.
What inspired you to do this?
Well, I used to do batik, and batik is much more extensive than this process. And I like design and pattern. And with a block, you can create a pattern by printing it over and over again. So,
yeah. What is batik?
Batik is where you use wax. It's a resist process. So you have to go through a whole process of putting the wax on and taking it off. Where this, I can just print them and then heat set them and they're ready to go. So, and I like them because they're a functional piece of art. They're all one of a kind because they're hand printed, so you can never repeat the same print every single time. So, yeah.
I see that you have like the earth and the peace and the love signs.
Uh-huh.
Could you tell me why it is that you chose those to put up?
Well, they're considered prayer flags.
Prayer flags.
And it's just about peace and to remind everyone peace starts with me. And there's the heart, the dove with the olive branch, and the peace sign, and the world. It's just a little reminder. It's like the Tibetan prayer flags, except I guess they're American peace flags. Yeah.
What religion is this?
Prayer? Oh, it's not a religion.
It's not a religion?
It's just a feeling. You know, it's important for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm standing at the Deer Creek Apis products from Salma. There's a lot of bees around us. There's lavender. There are samples of moisture bars for rubbing on salve. It's beeswax honey sweet almond oils. It looks really nice. There's they have a bunch of them for sale over here. There's definitely honey. They've also got lip balm. And they have flyers out here. And they also have a little book that seems to be made by them. Let's look in the book.
No, it's not. It's
not
Charles McCucci.
Never mind, it's Charles McCucci.
They do have some brochures made by them, though.
Yes, they have brochures made by them. Brochure! Okay. So they have a brochure. It's Deer Creek Apis Products. And it says, all natural, handmade, hand-cured. I said it again. Hand poured, no artificial essence, and no artificial preservatives.
Preservatives. Well, it's more like a, well, that's okay. We'll take it.
We'll just put that in there.
We'll just leave that.
Just act like, hi, I'm a student journalist, and I was wondering if I could just get your statement on the radio for just what you do here, what and why and stuff like that. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. So, what's your name?
My name is Two Bags and More. I'm Linda Aubrey. Okay.
So, I'm here with Two Bags and More, Linda Aubrey, and she has some pretty interesting stuff. Would you like to describe what it is?
Well, I make bags and totes and other things out of 100% cotton. I like to sew, and they won't let me hoard fabric, so I have to do something.
Oh. What inspired you to do stuff like this?
Free time. I'm retired, and I have to do something, and like I say, I love working with fabric.
I see that you have, like, definitely different detailed stuff. Is there significance to most of the stuff, or is it just what you like?
Most of it's what I like, though some of it is what I know my customers will buy, whether I really care for it or not. Customer base, you gotta give the customer wants. But I'm still pretty particular. I still have to kind of have it, like it a little bit. But if I get a special request and I can fill it, I do it.
Oh, yeah. I love that. So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about 6-7 years, but I've been crafting for over 20 years. I've just evolved as
as the need
arises.
Would you say that mostly women work on stuff like this, or would you say that men also do it too?
I think mostly women.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't think men are encouraged to sew and be involved. Though some of the best designs come from men, fabric designs. But it's starting to evolve. We have a lot of men are taking up quilting and stuff, but I haven't seen men doing the crafting thing yet.
Yeah. Do you know any really good women that are out there that does stuff like this, just like you?
Julie Next Door does great stuff. And I don't know anybody else because I don't run into a lot of women who actually do this. I know.
Yeah.
Not at the sales I go to anyway. I'm usually the only one. Or if I went Julie Next Door, Material Girls, she does aprons and things. So we next to each other and we feed off each other.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So for a little bit of describing stuff, they have a little purse over here that is Wonder Woman. We also have mermaids on one of them. We got pink camo. We have little mermaids that are made for little girls. We also have cowgirls on one of them. We got a little... We got a lot of Wonder Woman stuff, which I think is beautiful. We also got Superwoman over here. We got Butterfingers bags. And we have the American flag. It's all beautiful. All right, so I'm here with Jessica. And she's selling jewelry. Would you like to explain some of the jewelry that you have here?
Absolutely. I have handcrafted jewelry. Wire-wrapped pendants, rings, and earrings, and also hammered sterling necklaces.
Beautiful. What inspired you to do all this?
Actually, I had a bunch of creativity that I needed to express, and I was no longer able to paint. And so I found that wire wrapping and working with tools, I was able to creatively express myself, even though I was having some tremors in my hands.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, but it's really working out for you, though.
It's amazing that even the most challenging things that happen in our lives can result in some of the most amazing things. This is my full-time job now, and it never would have happened if I hadn't had to try to find a way to be creative other than the paintings and drawings that I was doing previously.
Is there a store that we could find this stuff in?
Absolutely. I have a shop in Talent. It's called Lady J Arts, and it's open by appointment during the summer, and then it's open Mondays through Thursdays, 1 to 6 during the winter.
Wonderful. What do you like most about doing this, other than being inspired? And
my favorite thing is when a rock finds its person. These rocks I work with very closely to try to help them become the most beautiful thing possible. And when the right person comes along and falls in love with that piece and ends up taking it home with them, it makes my day. It's my favorite thing.
That's beautiful and wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
That was super sweet. I'm here with Daekyu Woodworking, and what do you do exactly?
Anywhere from flat work for boxes, jewelry boxes, cutting boards, bowls of turn out of lathes, as well as we have a CNC cutter to engrave patterns of your choosing.
Nice. Do you guys do personalized work?
Yes, we do. So we get custom. My wife does all the programming on the computer. So if you want a specific picture, idea, theme, name, then we can do that.
Nice. Could you describe some of the work that's over here?
We have woods anywhere from right now to a Cairo walnut to myrtle wood. I've got some sycamore, a black walnut pinned oak with Gabun ebony on top, oak with black walnut on it. We've got boxes that are made out of cherry, alder, oak, hickory. We can also do exotic wood inlays if the customer chooses.
Nice. Is there a certain type of wood that you like to work with most?
Wood is wood, and it's all beautiful to me.
Wonderful. So, Mama Bear, what do you do for the programming?
We have a program, it's called Fetric, and I go on the internet and search out pictures for, just out of my head or whatever we want to do. Custom work is also, we really like it anyway. It's a challenge. So basically what I do is I go in, I search pictures on the internet and put them into a program. And with that program, then take it out to the garage. He hooks it up to a CNC router and pushes the start button.
That sounds very interesting. Do you also want to talk about your jackets here? It's teen suicide prevention, it looks like.
Yes. We lost our son just over 3 years ago to suicide.
I'm sorry.
So not enough people want to talk about it. They think if they stay quiet, it'll go away. And it doesn't. So people don't realize how much of an impact it has on everybody's lives, not only the family, but their friends, and how widespread this is. Within 7 months of our son's death, there was 20 more suicides in Jackson Josephine County, or five.
Yeah, we were rated number one in the nation that year.
Wow, I'm so sorry, you guys.
We're the ones that don't stop talking about it, don't stop telling people about it and watching the story happen. Bear for Life is based from the Rogue Valley Chaplain Society.
Yeah.
They're the ones helping get it off the ground for us. Between Fred Sada and Donna Wilson, great people. And they're helping push this forward as well. We'll also be raising a dwarf car this year with Bear for Life on it to let people know it's out there. They can talk about it. It's not a taboo subject.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you guys for putting this out there and showing your support for this.
We can't let any other parents go through what we're going through. Basically, you live two lives. The one that you have to survive and function in society, and the other one where you just want to curl up.
Thank you guys for being so outspoken about this. You guys help a lot of people, and it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, you guys. I just tried a dark chocolate caramel by Wicked Goodness, and it is wicked good. It is very sweet. And it just kind of melted in my mouth, just magically. And it was wonderful. So I'm here with
Bart Elder.
Bart Elder. And he has some interesting pictures. Would you like to tell us how you take these pictures?
I was going to say something smart, Alec. Like, I put the camera up and click the button.
Oh, yeah.
No, a lot of the wildlife photography, being in the right place, right time, hanging out in different areas like the wild horses, got to hike out to them, spend time with them. But basically, right place, right time, right equipment.
Nice. It looks like you're in the right place and the right time at a lot of places.
I try to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, finding the right animals. Sometimes I go out and come back with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, just besides a nice hike. That's it.
I see that you got an American Eagle. That must have been a little bit hard.
Yeah, I got, I kind of go on the bald eagles there a little bit. A couple of these here were just hanging out for a couple hours waiting for them to do stuff.
Yeah.
Besides perch. They look kind of boring when they're just perched. Except, of course, when you're standing right underneath them and look right up at them.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
But yeah, it's a lot of patience involved. Just hanging out.
Wonderful. How do you want a, so if someone came up to you and was trying to get into the same profession, what would you say to them?
No, don't do it.
No, don't
it's
do
competition.
It.
Competition.
Oh.
No, it's, I just tell them practice, get basic camera, learn basic camera skills, and then practice, get out and take as many pictures as you can, especially in the digital age, doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, to take pictures besides the time of looking at it and going, I don't like that one, delete. So, but yeah, just a lot of practice, learn the skills.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been taking pictures for many, many, many years, my entire life, basically. But I just started selling in shows and stuff like this the past 4 years.
Nice. What inspired you to start selling?
I needed to do something with the photographs. And I'd been, you know, friends and family had seen them, and I'd sold a few to them, given them away and stuff. And I said, well, I need to do something with them besides just keeping them on my hard drive.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll give it a go. See how I do. And it's turning out okay, you know.
That's good. It looks beautiful, by the way. Everything
Thank
here
you.
Looks beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Hi, I'm here with Angela, and she has a booth. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes. I'm here today to sell my books. The Gunpowder Conspiracy is actually a mystery romance. It's based on the assassination of King James in 1605. And the cookbook is a collection of recipes from inns in England. I also am with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio.
If you met a young author that's trying to get a book up and going, what would you say to them?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have some students that I'm helping write, and they're between 9 and 12 years old.
Nice.
And they have a lot of ideas, but it's all fantasy at that age.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to educate them that what you have done, even if it's school years, is just as important as fantasy at this point, so that they can actually write and know what life is all about up to their point. You know, they're only 12 years old, but still,
yeah,
they have experiences from day to day, which is important in everyone's writing.
Yeah, definitely.
I link to my way of thinking, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, I'm here with Georgia Cockerham. And she has a booth here. Would you like to tell me about it?
Sure. Thank you for asking. I have several books. I'm a local author and artist. My books are many different genres, starting with murder mysteries, Murder on the Oregon Coast, the first book in a series of murder mysteries. This one has three mysteries under one cover. And the same two detectives, the lead detectives, are solving mysteries throughout every story. The characters and the crimes are fictitious, but the places are real. The two detectives work out of a small police department in a little coastal town called Brookings, Oregon.
Wow, local. It's a local department.
That's right. So as the reader reads the murder mysteries, they will recognize many of the locations in southern Oregon and northern California. I also have a couple of children's books. The most recent one is Bosun Binny and the St. George Reef Lighthouse. It was just written up yesterday in the Del Norte Triplicate.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
That is a story about our lighthouse off the coast of Crescent City. The story is told by the animals, and they talk about why the lighthouse was built and different aspects of it, and you get to meet all the animals. It's all dialogue. So what got you interested in...
Oh, we're turning this interview around. All right. I like it. So I had a friend who was in journalism already, and she had come up to me, and she's like, hey, I need your help with an interview. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said it was about coffee, and I'm all about coffee, always. And so she got me into it by bringing me with coffee.
Good.
Yeah. And... ever since then, I've been pursuing a sort of a career in trying to learn how to be a journalist and going to events and describing the event and having fun and talking to people like you every day, and it's fun. It's
wonderful. When I first went to college, right out of high school, my major was English, and I was going to be a journalist. So I appreciate that effort on your part, or on your part in journalism.
Yes. Thank you. That's wonderful.
That's great. I'm enjoying the show here. Brookings always has great opportunities for handmade items and shows. And celebrating the Valentine's Day with chocolates and gifts. Yes. And I've done very well with the selling of books. People are stopping by who have already read my murder mystery book and want to know when the second one's coming out. When do I have it out?
So when are you?
By June.
Oh, and you heard it from here first.
And I'll be selling them at Art in the Park, Stout Park.
Okay.
Brookings at the
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. It's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate your asking.
Wow, a 6-minute interview. Ooh. All right, so I'm here with the Herbal Gerbil, which is a very fun name.
Herbal Gerbil.
Or Herbal Gerbil. I don't know why I said Gerbil.
Everybody calls it Gerbil.
Yeah, because I read Gerbil up there, and he said Gerbil before, too. And I accidentally said Gerbil, I'm sorry.
No problem.
So it says that you have pain relief, first aid, and skin care.
Yes.
Yeah, is this...
It's all organic, and we make everything ourselves. And we have pain relief oils and first aid products like vapor rub and first aid salve. We have hand lotion and face care. We've even got a beard care and a tat care oil.
My dad would probably use that. Or maybe Mr. Timmon could use some of that too right now.
And we're really having a good time here at the Chocolate Festival. It's really a good crowd. Everybody's having definitely. A good time.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's having a good time. So what else do you do?
Well, I'm a clinical herbalist.
Clinical?
So my goal is to help people manage their lives without big pharmaceuticals in their lives. So I've helped a lot of people get off their barbiturates with my pain relief oils. Because a lot of times you can deal with the pain topically.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I'm all about.
Sweet of you. Thank you. What got you into doing this?
I worked for doctors for 35 years. And my last stint was 17 and a half years with the same doctor. We saw the same people for the same thing for 17 years.
Nice.
And I was hitting my 60th birthday, and I thought, I always wanted to study herbalism. Well, I got to be 70. Thinking I always wanted to study herbalism, so I quit my job and went back to school and became an herbalist.
Wow. You just quit your job and got up and...
Yep.
Wow, that's definitely careers
so
pursuing.
I went to school with 30-year-olds, and I kept up most of the time.
Yeah, good. Good. You show those 30-year-olds. You show them who's boss. So if there was young herbalists that were trying to get into this field, what would you say to them?
I would say follow your passion, and I would say get some training.
Yes.
You know, either apprentice somewhere, which is, I went to school and then I apprenticed at the school where I was. And get your hands in the earth, go out and find those herbs. I do sell some reference books for folks that are just starting out.
So. Nice. If we wanted to find you outside of the store.
I have a website, theherbalgerbil.com. I live in Ashland, so I'm in a couple stores over there.
But nice.
Yeah. So, and you'll find me at events like this.
Wonderful. We'll definitely keep an eye out for you then. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes. Have a good time.
You too. I'm here at something that smells really good. The Creatist You. Oh, you say the name. Just
Creations for You. And we do balsamic vinegar, barrel-aged, and olive oil, and seasoning.
Wow. What got you into this business?
I sold the commercial balsamic, and they started adding sugar and corn syrup to things, and we didn't think they needed to be in vinegar and oil. So we have tried to keep a very clean product, so we have no sugar, no corn syrup, no anti-caking, no MSG, we're gluten-free, and try to put a very flavorful product on the table that's very healthy for you.
Are you guys organic?
We're a small company, and the word organic means thousands of dollars for certification.
Oh, yeah.
So it would add to the cost of our product, but we put, I cannot legally use that word because I'm not certified. So we're just a very healthy product. We try to get the best products we can to put in our food.
Nice. If you would have to, would you like to describe a couple of stuff that you have here?
Well, new since the last time we were in Brookings, we have Bubbly, which is a champagne balsamic, which is used a lot right now. They're calling for it in a lot of recipes. We have a chocolate olive oil, and we have a smoked olive oil. And so if liquid smoke, you don't care for the ingredients, or it's too strong, a nice smoked olive oil is good. You can add it to deviled eggs, pastas, marinades. The chocolate olive oil is great on green beans, baking, marinades, salad dressings, and the bubbly balsamic finishes stuff. It gives a nice pop. It's fun for dipping because it's different. And they're using it in a lot of recipes right now. You can substitute it for a white balsamic, but it just has a little more kick, fun. It's a lot of fun.
There's some rumors going around that you've been on TV.
Yes, we have. We come out of Idaho, and so they feature us sometimes on TV. We did a cooking thing, made several things, and they seem to like it.
Wow, so you have experience with TV and cooking shows.
We do. Sometimes we have to do that. It's fun to demonstrate and let people sample things that you can make and do, because vinegar and oil is much more than just dipping or salad dressing.
Nice. It must be really fun to have like a cooking show and have people like come up to you and recognize you and be like, oh yeah, I loved your recipe there.
Yes, it is. They do recognize us at different places we go. And
nice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I just tried the Creation for You pomegranate balsamic vinegar, and it was like jelly. It was very sweet, and then at the end it gave you kind of like this little vinegary kick at the end, and it was super good. I liked it.
This is KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM.
I just tried the blood orange from Creations for You, and it was super nice. It wasn't too sweet. It wasn't too bland. It was just blood orange, and it was really good. I was just given a mystery flavor from Creation for You, and it tasted oily and like makeup, I guess. Don't ask why I know what makeup tastes like, all right? I have no clue what it was. It kind of tastes like a little bit like blood orange, but with blander, I guess?
Not quite too like.
Yeah. I don't know. But if I turn around, I could tell you it's lemon.
All right, ready for the next one?
All right, yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right, mystery.
Mr. Tittman is going to give me another mystery flavor.
There you go, Dill.
I'm very afraid because the color is red. Mmm.
Roasted garlic.
It's a little bit spicy. But then it turned a little bit sour and then sweet.
It was the dark sweet cherry.
Oh, it was dark sweet cherry. Absolutely delicious. So I have Mr. Tittman's family right here. And it looks like Sylvia is eating something. Would you like to explain to us what you're eating?
Chocolate-covered bacon.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, is it good?
Mmm, it's delicious. Do you want to taste?
Oh, sure.
Ooh.
I do have to say, it's pretty good. I've never had bacon-covered chocolate before.
Me neither.
And that's delicious. What booths have you guys liked so far?
Well, I've just been down this aisle here. This one here is nice. This is Mrs. Britt's Oregon Kitchen.
Britt's Oregon Kitchen?
Mm.
Yeah, do you like his?
And then the one that sold me that bacon, that chocolate-covered bacon.
Yeah, Brevin's?
That's in the front.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we talked to her for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So Raymond, what booths do you like so far?
Probably the chocolate right when we came in the door. That was very impressive, the way she had it laid out and stuff. So.
Yeah, we called it. It was going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Let's ask them how they heard about the festival.
So how did you guys hear about the festival?
Sign along the road.
We run the farmer's market.
Ah.
So we know when our competition is in play. So this was our competition yesterday.
Wow.
Yes.
Competition. Ooh.
Yes.
We got some drama going on now.
Yes.
What's it like doing the farmer's market?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We've got lots of fresh vegetables and fruit, and we have tons and tons of different stalls that sell food and meat and eggs and food.
Is it all organic?
Food, most of it, yes.
Yes.
All right.
Remember, she says it's wonderful, but she's not the one growing it.
Oh. But she is the one who's eating it.
She's
so
selling.
I sell it.
Oh, yep. She also sells it, so.
I'm the one that grows most of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for your time, you guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm here with the Balloon Man, a.k.a. Gary. Do you have something to say to our viewers?
Yes, I want to thank all the viewers and the kids who followed me for a long time now, going over 5 years. And it's great to see the kids grow up, and I make balloons for their little kids. So thank you guys very much for your support. Thank you.
What's it like being in this type of business?
It's a lot of fun because I get to make something that the kids really want, not what their parents want. A lot of times they fight over their parents, but no, they want a cat or a dog or especially a turtle. And they finally get what they want, and they're so happy, and that makes it really worthwhile. It's like Christmas.
I remember when you made me a turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. That was at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
You're everywhere around here.
Well, we try to be because it's... I got the best job in the world. This is so much fun working with kids, small kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look. It looks like you've got someone here.
Oh, beautiful. What did you want, sweetheart?
I'm here with Alyssa Clark Clayworks. And she has a bunch of clayworks all around us, and they're very fantastic. Would you like to elaborate on them?
Thank you. I call them fun modern wares with a whimsical twist. And everything in my booth is completely ready to be used. It can all go in the microwave and the dishwasher.
Wow.
I've got a lot of Valentine's Day themed things right now. and yeah, just a bunch of super fun stuff.
Yeah. If someone would like to get into clay work, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to come to my shop in Florence and come take some classes from me.
Oh, how would we get a hold of you to start taking classes?
I can be reached at 503-957-5222.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been a putter for about 25 years now.
25 years. Yeah. Wow. What inspired you to become a potter?
My mom was an artist, and just I've always had a lot of artist friends, and it just is a great way to express yourself.
Wonderful. Yeah. Would you recommend doing this for people who want to express themselves?
I would. I think it's a great life. I mean, you have to be constantly dusty. If you don't mind dust and you don't mind not having fingernails, it's a great occupation.
Wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Balloon popped. I'm here with Eva's Swedish hand knit. Would you like to tell us what you do?
Yes, I would love to. I was brought up in Sweden. I am Swedish. And I've been knitting all my life. I have a picture there showing when I was about 7 years old, starting knitting. And it has developed over the years. And I really have now focused on felted hats, which I knit and then felt and shrink. And you can take them out in rain and snow. And
wow.
They will last you for years and years. And then I do beanies and slouches and other things like that. Mittens, scarves, don't have any here right now. And I love doing it. It's just very relaxing.
Yeah. What's it like hand knitting in Sweden?
Lots of people knit and crochet in Sweden, and we are taught that in schools too in my days.
Wow.
So it is something that a lot of people do where I couldn't really make a business out of it in Sweden. But here, since I don't have quite that much competition, it has worked out that my hobby has turned into a little small business, which is nice.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I enjoy it, and I enjoy the festival here. I've come to it many years, and it's always been good.
Is there a difference between all the other years and this year at the festival?
Maybe it was a little bit slower because we had to change location, and maybe not everyone knew that. But overall, I'm happy with it.
Yeah. Are you getting lots of business over here?
I am.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And it's always, you create goodwill. And you give out your card, and people will maybe look you up on the web or Facebook or something like that. And So I do regularly the growers market in Grants Pass, where I live. So you know, it just creates overall knowledge about what I'm doing.
Do you have a little store in Grants Pass?
I don't have a store. No. Okay. I do. I knit from home, and then I do it at the growers market, or I would have other shows.
All right. These are very beautiful, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for talking with us.
It was a pleasure.
Yes. Have a great day.
You too.
I'm here with the Lavender Lady, and it looks like she's from Bandon, Oregon.
Correct.
What is it that you do?
I grow lavender chemical-free at my farm in Bandon, and I make a natural line of products from it. And I've been doing this for 13 years now, so the product line has grown.
Wow, is it all organic?
I grow chemical-free, and I use mostly organic ingredients, as many as I can find in my products.
Wonderful. Is it all like vegan and vegetarian and stuff?
Well, I try and go as user-friendly as possible, and you can look at my labels. I put a lot of information on everything. I have some preservative-free ingredients, and lavender, just as is, as a matter of fact, the essential oil is completely chemical-free and antimicrobial. So I'm going to have you smell and see what your reaction is.
Oh, that's super sweet.
Heaven in a bottle.
That's a wonderful name for it.
So are there different uses that the lavender's for?
Yes, as a matter of fact, this list of uses goes with the essential oil.
Oh.
And I try and put as much information on each product as I can possibly find. My customers are my great research people. They give me a lot of feedback.
How does the pimples work?
Well, since it's antimicrobial, it's actually killing germs.
Oh, wow. For all you teenagers out there, you might want to get some lavender for your pimples. So it also says that it works for arthritis.
It's a natural anti-inflammatory. So it's good for pain and headache and arthritis, anything that's got an ITIS on the end of it.
Wow, I've never... tried that for my migraines. I'll have to do that next time.
You should.
Yeah. This is really awesome. Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Have a good day. Also, if you would like to buy stuff from her, she's on the web as lavenderladyfarm.com.
On Etsy.
On Etsy. Thank you. I'm here with Brev's Gold. Would you like to explain to us what you do?
Well, my name's Dan Seeley, and my wife, Susie, here. We own Brevens. It's the fudge company from Astoria, Oregon, up way north here, about as far north as we are south in Oregon. And we've been in business about 26 years. We make, we've made over 200 flavors of fudge. We specialize in fudge, individually boxed. And right now we have about 36 flavors of fudge here today.
Wow, that's a lot of flavors. Would you like to say some of the flavors that are your favorite?
Oh, I love the Belgian chocolate chip. It's chunks of Belgian chocolate with Godiva chocolate liqueur and a nice 72% cacao dark chocolate base.
Wow.
We have things like root beer float on the whiter and lighter side. Orange cream, like a creamsicle bar, buttercream, deep buttery flavor in milk chocolate, and such off-the-wall flavors as maple bacon.
Wow. So is this all organic?
No, it's not organic because of some of the light labeling requirements that are out there that the government insists upon. And the product or the ingredient chain is very difficult because the cacao is grown in areas like Africa, Venezuela, and that's something that's worldwide. That's where most of the cacao comes from for all the chocolate. So that's very difficult to do.
Nice.
I think maybe because
what is Fireball?
Fireball is made with Fireball whiskey. It's a cinnamon flavored fudge, and while the alcohol is cooked out, the cinnamon flavor remains.
Nice. Do you have fun doing this?
Love it. Okay, love it. We started this company 26 years ago, named it after our kids, Brianne and Kevin. That's where the name comes from. We do about 65 of these shows a year for our company.
Nice. If you were talking to a student that wanted to get into selling chocolate and making chocolate, what would you tell them?
First of all, come up with a recipe that you really like and change it to make it your own. That's how we started. We took a recipe that was her mother's and she changed it to make it her own, and we started from there. Do it one step at a time, start small and work up to big.
Wow.
We started with three flavors literally over our kitchen sink. We now have a commercial kitchen that we built specifically for making our products.
Oh.
And we make about 300 pounds a day.
Where is the commercial
Astoria?
Astoria?
And the last one will be one of those.
That's really awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Could you tell us who you are?
We are Coastal Mist out of Bandon, Oregon.
Out of Bandon, Oregon? So what do you do?
So we make handmade artisan chocolates, desserts, pastries, all kinds of chocolate confections, all handmade from scratch.
These all look very professional. Did you go to like a cooking school for this?
So we actually trained in Belgium learning how to make chocolate. So we know cooking school per se, but did apprenticeships over there in Belgium.
That's wonderful. What was it like working in Belgium?
Really, really cool. The Belgians are pretty much known for chocolate, French fries, what else? Waffles, and beer, of course. But so they really, really know their chocolate, and their techniques are old world and traditional, and it was very exciting to get to learn the art of chocolate over there.
If you were talking to a student that wants to get into cooking chocolates like this, what would you say to them?
I would say, you know, definitely rather than a school, maybe try to find a chef that would train you in the business, or, you know, work your way up through an apprenticeship or something like that. But it's definitely a hands-on. It's not something you can just learn in a book. It's definitely something to take your time and learn to make.
What are some very interesting chocolate-making terms?
So, you know, a lot of people think in order to make chocolate, you simply melt chocolate and then you put it in molds and you're good to go, right? But the main thing with chocolate is tempering. Tempering is what gives you that wonderful snap, the wonderful shine, the great chocolate texture. And so, you know, that is just one key word that I would always express is tempering for a chocolatier.
Wow. You said the word chocolatier. Could you elaborate on that?
So that is just someone who specializes in the art of chocolates. Most of us in America, we pronounce it chocolatier, but it's actually chocolatier.
Are you a chocolatier?
I am. And so is my husband and my business partner. So all three of us work in the art of chocolate every day of our lives.
I see that you got coffee over here.
Yes, so our coffee is actually coffee beans ground with cocoa beans, and we serve it in our shop up in Bandon, but it's two beans together, and it just makes a really nice cup of coffee to have the two beans roasted together.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Thank you for your time, by the way. Yes, thank you. Could you introduce yourself?
I'm Susan, and I make all of this jewelry out of recycled silver. It's actually made out of a clay that they grind the silver down to a fine dust, and then it gets mixed with a binder and water, and that makes it clay-like. So I roll it out, and I stamp them with rubber stamps, and then I fire it in my kiln, and that fires out all that binder, and I'm just left with fine silver.
Wow.
So I do a lot of different pieces. I do all the redwood trees, and I do little Oregons with a little bit of everything, because Oregon is so pet friendly and has all the other things. But I do nautical pieces and sell at a lot of these big events around here.
What inspired you to do this?
I used to silversmith, and a friend invited me to learn this process, and I was hooked from that minute. And then I took extensive classes on how to do it, and this is my fifth year of making it and selling it. Love to do it. So when it's your passion, you just keep doing it.
That's wonderful. If you were talking to a student who wanted to get into this business, what would you tell them?
Well, I have taught classes in it, but that's the biggest thing is just to find locally who teaches classes in metal clay. Metal clay comes in silver, bronze, copper, and gold. I haven't been able to afford the gold, but silver is what I like to work with. And so it's just usually you can find somebody that teaches a class in a day and get to leave with your own jewelry that you've made.
Yeah. I see that you got a little Sasquatch one over there.
Yes, I do. I've sold about three of those. I sell on Etsy as well. There's Sasquatch lovers amongst us.
Do you believe in the Sasquatch?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? I've heard there's been some sightings over in Jedediah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I grew up in Walla Walla, Washington, and in eighth grade, everyone had snuck out to me, and the boys were showing us something off in the distance that they convinced us was Sasquatch. And when we were moving from California back to Walla Walla, there was a thing in the newspaper that said AP Walla Walla, Washington, Sasquatch sighting up Mill Creek.
Hello. Wow.
So I think we did see him.
I think so too. That's really cool. Do you think it's mostly women doing stuff like this or men?
I think that it's mostly women making this. Yeah. When I did teach classes, I did have a couple of guys come and do the class, and they wanted to learn how to make something for their wife. but in the world out there, when I've seen other people that have made it and are selling it, it's all been women.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I just think that, honestly, I couldn't really say, because this jewelry, I sell it to both men and women.
Yeah.
And it is a style that's somewhat like the lost casting, and men do that. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know why, because they certainly would be capable.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm here with the Out of Flame business. Would you like to describe what you do?
Yeah. I make lampwork glass beads. So I'm starting out with rods of glass and creating each of the beads by doing layers, sometimes involving a layer of silver in between them. And then after the beads cool down, I assemble them into jewelry.
That's awesome. What inspired you to do this?
I'm also a potter. Even though I don't have pottery in my display today, along with my photography as well, I was working at a pottery studio in Austin, Texas in the early 2000s, and a woman walked in wearing some beautiful beads, and I complimented her on them, and she said she made them, and my eyes got very big, and I was excited about that, and so I looked into it and took a class, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, you also mentioned photography. You want to tell me about that?
Yes, and so for my photography, it's a different business name. It's For Nature's Sake. And I donate a percentage of my sales from my photography to local nature groups,
wow,
such as Loma Katsi, Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, and so on. And so you'll see that a high percentage of my photos are of nature, and that is where my heart and soul is.
That's wonderful. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
If you were talking to a student,
yes,
who wanted to get into this profession, what would you tell them?
Follow your passion.
Follow your passion?
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Follow your passion. It is definitely worth it.
Thank you so much.
You're
this
welcome.
Is really nice, by the way. So, what is the name of your business?
It is kind of in the limbo right now, but Sarah Cider Fire, or Mama Bear Elixirs is the name.
Mama Bear Elixirs.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
So, what is this?
So, they're food enhancers and health elixirs inspired by an East Coast herbalist. And I have a couple different products. I have my my go-to, everyone loves, is raw apple cider vinegar. And it's soaked for 3-4 weeks in lemon, onion, garlic, horseradish root, ginger root, turmeric root, a little bit of cayenne pepper, because I have a weak stomach and my boys like to take this. It's supposed to be hot peppers. And then black peppercorn and rosemary, and I extract it into a liquid. And then I dehydrate it and grind the rest of it into a seasoning. So I use the whole thing.
Yeah.
We use the liquid part as a kind of like a salad dressing, like a vinaigrette. My boys like to put on steamed broccoli and carrots, put in soup, stir fries. The seasoning part is really good on any kind of meat. Fish is my favorite, sliced tomato, cucumber, and also like watermelon and cantaloupe is really good. Some people said this wasn't strong enough, so I did a spicier version with scorpion peppers and ghost peppers.
Oh, gosh.
And it has a lot of heat, but it doesn't linger because I think the apple cider vinegar helps dissipate it. So it's very forgiving, and then when you're cutting up hot peppers, you don't have to worry about the oils. You can just drop it in with a dropper. And then my other one is the elderberry tonic, which has rose hips in it, which have more vitamin C than oranges. And then I put cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, orange and lemon rind, and also molasses in it. And it helps,
wow,
with the vitamin C if you're feeling sick. And everything's organic and local to where I live. So, yeah, it's kind of nice.
Wow.
It's, yeah, kind of food enhancing, but...
That is so cool. If you were talking to a young person who wants to get into this type of profession and make stuff like this, what would you say?
Lots of exploring in the kitchen is a big thing. And a passion for food, of course, and where your food comes from. Local is my go-to, and studying herbalist and kind of the past, just history of everything is really, really helpful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have like certain recipes that you like to use with this type of stuff?
Yes. Chicken broth when we're sick, we add the Sarah's Sire Fire to it, and it's really amazing. It just kind of helps with your sinuses and kind of cleans you all out. Just simple things, the steamed vegetables too is very good, but anything, I pretty much have it right next to my olive oil and add it to pretty much for flavor. I like to do whole chicken and vegetable with it just to kind of add more infused flavors.
Yeah. that's
so Mitchell, did you ask her how she came up with the name for
Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the original recipe is called Fire Cider, and from Rosemary Gladstar, who is my inspiration. And there's some legal things around the name because someone patented my name. So I changed the Sarah's Cider Fire to kind of be more legal but more fun. Even though it's not very fiery, my four-year-old calls it wooey. So it has, it has that kick, unlike the scorpion pepper one. So,
yeah. I like that, wooey. I'm going to start calling stuff that's hot wooey.
Yeah, it has that kick.
How do we find stuff like this outside of events?
Hunting and finding me. I live in Grants Pass area. I'm hopefully going to be in the herb shop once I get all my... my eggs in my basket of life, and
Can I give a shout out to your email?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Sarah's Cider of Fire at gmail.com.
Yes.
How did you get organic license?
I did just as she did over there, and we bypassed that. We just like to source organically. The certification is a whole different bureaucracy of a beast. So even though I'm not that stamp of approval, my honesty and my hard work are, and locally, I get it from my backyard or local farmers around me in the farmer's market in Grants Pass.
Are you comfortable talking about why it is that you guys have to bypass the certification?
There's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of money involved and just a lot of hoops to go through. And right now where I am, my business is not feasible for me. So yeah, it boils down to money.
Makes sense, yeah. Thank you so much for your time. This is wonderful, by the way.
Thank you. Can I try some samples?
Oh, I should do that on the radio, What's the most fieriest one that you got?
This one right here.
The blue. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Listeners want to know.
Do you know your Scoville ratings?
My what?
Okay, that answers that question. She knows her Scoville ratings
as well.
Oh, you don't? Oh,
no?
Never mind.
Okay, what is that?
But I don't know mine.
I don't know what that is.
It's a rating that's given to tell you how hot a certain pepper is. Like, ghost peppers are way up there.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is then.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what ghost peppers is.
And they're pretty hot, but the apple cider vinegar definitely helps dissipate. Like, it doesn't linger, which I love.
Well, you're probably our last interview guest, so she's unable to talk after this one.
That's
okay.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, and plus there's a lot of cucumber.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cucumber in it, so the cucumber's going to tone it down.
Here we go.
And plus the radio.
Okay.
All right, let's try this.
Chug.
That is hot.
But it leaves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it will leave, yeah.
Yeah, that's very hot. It's sticking on my lip right now.
Oh,
because I got a little bit on my lip. But it's really good.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. If I had this on chicken, I think it would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because I don't like chicken that much. So if it was on chicken, I'd probably eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these ones are good too. They're not as spicy as the movie ones. And then that's the seasoning. So you don't have to
suck. All right. So right now I'm trying the Sarah's Cider of Fire. The food didn't even fall out with it. Yeah, it's not too spicy. Yeah, it's wooey. It's wooey.
It's wooey.
It's wooey. I need to start just saying that. Yeah. I'm going to try the spice.
Yeah, the spice is good. That's even the most mildest one. It just has more flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm trying the spice type now. That's really good.
Yeah. Kind of little different flavors.
Yeah. I'd put this in, chicken tacos.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm now spitting out, recipes and...
People have asked me if I have a cookbook. I said, no, one day.
One day. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. This is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for trying it. And what radio?
This is Bruin Radio, KCIW.
Is our station that we play on.
100.7.
Would you like us to email you the completed show? You've just listened to an episode of Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
Yes, folks, it's a beautiful day here for a ball game in Brookings, Oregon on the lovely Wild Rivers Coast. The score is Corrupt Big Commercial Radio Station 0 and KCIWLP 100.7. 100.7 FM, that is. And remember, when community radio wins, everyone wins.